WK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Democrats grilled Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth about sexual assault allegations and his view on women in combat roles during a committee hearing today. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer raised concerns about Republicans' handling of Hegseth's FBI background check.
If Mr. Hegseth had nothing to hide, and if Republicans do indeed think he's qualified and ready for one of the most consequential jobs in the country, why is the chairman hell-bent to keep all relevant information out of the hands of his colleagues?
Strong winds have returned to the L.A. area, elevating the fire risk again. FEMA's Robert Fenton says financial help is on the way.
We will provide rental assistance for you based on the family composition and size of your house for up to 18 months.
CBS's Alexander Tin reports on a new study suggesting how deadly alcohol can be.
The risk of dying from alcohol goes from 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 100 after drinking slightly more than one drink of alcohol per day, according to a new federal review.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. Milwaukee police are investigating a homicide where a person was intentionally struck and killed by a car during an argument this morning. The incident took place at just before 7 in the 2300 block of North 14th. The person killed was a 41-year-old man. People that may have seen something are urged to contact Crime Stoppers. Governor Tony Evers says he's working to reform gun laws in Wisconsin. He'll likely face resistance from Republicans. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei Olson explains.
The governor says he'll be looking at things like red flag laws, expanding background checks, and gun storage laws. In 2019, Evers called lawmakers to a special session to address gun violence. Republican leaders famously called the legislature into session and immediately adjourned, gaveling in and gaveling out, something they've done multiple times since. Now, since Evers took office, state Democrats have proposed at least 30 bills they say would make Wisconsin safer. But none of them have passed because Republicans haven't supported them and they have control of the legislature. Evers signed an executive order creating the Office of Violence Prevention. Here's the big question. Can he get Republicans on board?
Just weeks after a school shooting took the lives of a student and an educator who never returned home, common sense gun safety reform and reducing crime and gun violence must finally be a shared priority that transcends politics and partisanship. Reducing crime and violence should be an issue that receives earnest bipartisan support this session.
To create this new Office of Violence Prevention, Evers used $10 million from leftover federal funding to get it started. But going forward, it'll need money allocated in the state budget to keep it going, and that is up to the legislature. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
Badgers could make history tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has been around since 1898. And in that time, only three head coaches, Bud Forrester, Doc Meanwell, and Bull Ryan, had 200 or more career victories. If the Badgers beat Ohio State tonight at the Kohl Center, head coach Greg Gard would become the fourth. Gard's overall record stands at 199 and 110. Just one win away from 200, the Badgers are back in the top 25, ranked 24th in the nation. In the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings eliminated from the playoffs after losing to the Rams 27-9 on Monday Night Football. In Green Bay, a frustrated Tucker Kraft was asked what will he remember about this Packers season as he cleaned out his locker.
We couldn't finish. That's what I think of this team. We're all sitting in here in this locker room with frowns on our faces, people packing their shit up ready to go home, people talking about the offseason vacations, and we should be getting ready to play the next game in the postseason. That's my opinion on it.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows 0 to 5 above. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, highs up into the mid-20s. Some flurries and snow showers tomorrow night, then even warmer on Thursday. High in the mid-30s and near 40 Friday, then colder for the weekend. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart,
heart, and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dodd.
Top of the show at 2 p.m. I dissect Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection report. You're not going to want to miss this lawyer lady breaking it down for you.
The Maggie Dodd Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia. I am the host, Dom Salvia. That's just PS on the board, working hard for you. You can be a part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Well, the big news today, besides Jack Smith dropping that report, which we talked about last hour, of course, Pete Hegseth. In front of the Senate, the advice and consent, that was actually going on.
Oh, they're actually going to do that, apparently.
Apparently, yes, in seven-minute increments.
Yeah.
Come on.
7 minutes, no one gets to come back around.
Man, I've had speed dates that last longer than that. 7 minutes?
7 minutes.
And I did hear one of the, I think it was Senator Kelly from Arizona, we got some sound from him, did request from the Republican chair another round. That was denied.
Roundly denied.
That was denied. Roundly denied. And apparently, according to the sub-chair, and his name escapes me, that's kind of the first time that's happened.
Like, indeed. Normally, senators are allowed to have multiple rounds of questioning.
Like follow-up questions.
You know, indeed. I mean? You know, the candidate says something to another person who's asking them questions, and that can trigger some more lines of thoughts.
Yeah, no. Get them in, get them out quick, man. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And I from my perception today, I don't think it went great for Pete Hegseth. Now
he seemed pretty pleased with it.
He might have the votes, and it's going to come down to the Republicans. I think he can lose three.
He can lose three.
So Joni Ernst and a few others. We'll see. But I mean, I have lots of comments on it. But the sound, and Jess, thank you for doing the hard work today. I did get to see some of this. Had that kind of on in the background as I was working. And I watched most of a lot of the Democratic questioning because, you know,
it was better than the little like self-false of you're doing so great.
You're doing great. Glad to hear a man talk of Christ and all. I mean, do we have that cut?
No.
What did he say? Do you recall specifically? Hegseth did throw out the saved by Christ kind of thing, whatever.
We do have one of those in here.
Oh, we do have one of those.
Oh, yeah, it's tucked in.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Don't you worry.
I only worry just a little bit. So Pete Hegseth, his confirmation hearing today. Some of the sound we're going to play for you. Again, you can be a part, 855-752-4842. As mentioned, Senator Mark Kelly, a Democrat from Arizona. Alyssa Slotkin, a Democrat from my home state of Michigan. Tim Kaine. Remember that guy, former vice presidential candidate? Like, Tim who?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Good try. Maisie Hirono, a Democrat from Hawaii, and Tammy Duckworth. And Tammy Duckworth.
Knocked it out of the park.
Just lit his ass up. And, you know, it's not so much the questions per se. It's the interaction and the obfuscating the not answers,
the filibustering, the wasting of those precious 7 minutes.
Well, that's the point, right? Just get through. And if you can talk over the person, hey, I like a yes no answer. Well, let me tell you something. I used to work on a farm, you know what I mean? If I You know, I used to work on a farm, Jess. Yeah. So, I mean, but that kind of filibuster, like, right. Like literally, dude, all you got to do is say yes or no. And, of course, that never happens.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a little journalism in my life, and you can ask them a yes or no question. Anybody.
Doesn't mean you're going to get a yes or no answer.
Doesn't mean you're gonna, right. And especially when their whole time is to burn time. Their whole effort is to burn the time.
Right.
Get through it. Get through, pass the Dem onto your next friendly, because they bounce back and forth. You get a Democratic Dem question, you get a Republican question, so on and so forth. So we didn't get any highlights of the Republicans kissing his ass. No.
If you want to listen to that, you can go find it.
Yeah, somewhere else. We're not going to play
that. Didn't do it for me.
Let's start out with Senator Mark Kelly. Now, some of these cuts are going to be a little bit longer, and we're going to play the entire interaction with Senator Duckworth at the end of this, because there was not a good spot to stop it.
There really wasn't. I tried, and I just went, you know what? It's just... The whole thing,
given these times, and these are questions I think are generally relevant, and it comes down to from my perspective, I think the senators are they'll speak for themselves. One of the biggest jobs in the world, millions of people, $1 trillion budget. I just think from what I understand of Hegseth's background and his character or lack thereof. I mean, he's a party boy, man. He's like every 80s bad party boy guy. I mean, that's kind of my impression.
Not that there's necessarily something wrong with a party boy.
No, not necessarily.
But it's the kind of party, and it's, can you turn that off? Can you put that aside for 4 years?
What time does happy hour start at the Pentagon?
It done.
What?
It does not start.
Come on.
Absolutely not.
Who wants that crappy job?
Right.
I mean, I'm more Mad Men, I guess. 855-752-4842. But Hegseth has never really run a large organization.
No.
He has military experience. I'll give him that. You know, certainly more than most. But that in and of itself doesn't make one qualified to run the Pentagon.
No, absolutely not. And some of the Republican lines of questioning were like, oh, how many rounds can go in this gun? And what kind of ammo does this shoot? It's like, okay, yes, he can answer those questions. But what about our military alliances?
But so can a lot of privates.
So can a lot of privates.
In the armed forces. And it goes beyond that. You know, this is about leadership, and it is about character, and it is about... bending the knee to Donald Trump. And that, I think, is one of the scariest things, because Donald Trump's lining up the loyalists. No, he didn't do that last time. He's doing that this time. And how does that impact? Again, this is the security of this country. And he wants to put it in the hands of a loyal Fox News host. And let's just be frank about it. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark Kelly, and I thought, and these are not in order, but I thought this was a good one. Talking about the allegations, and again, gives an opportunity. Go quick. You only got 7 minutes. True or false? Well, you hear the filibuster. You hear the non-answers from Hegseth. Let's start with Mark Kelly. Cut number one, please. Just over 2.5 minutes, so be patient. Here is the senator from Arizona.
You walk in here saying that you've had personal and character issues in your past, including heavy drinking, which you wrote about. And you said, and this is a quote from you, that you said, I sit before you as an open book. Yet you haven't actually said what personal challenges it is that you've overcome when you've been asked about them. So I'm going to give you an opportunity here to be as forthright as you say you want to be. So while leading concerned veterans of America, there were very specific cases cited by individuals. Conduct. I'm going to go through a few of them, and I just want you to tell me if these are true or false. Very simple. On Memorial Day 2014, at a CVA event in Virginia, you needed to be carried out of the event for being intoxicated.
Senator Anonymous Smears.
Just true or false? Very simple. Summer of 2014 in Cleveland, drunk in public with the CVA team.
Anonymous Smears.
I'm just asking for
sensing
true or false
a trend
questions.
Here.
True or false answers. An event in North Carolina, drunk in front of three young female staff members after you had instituted a no alcohol policy and then reversed it. True or false?
Anonymous Smears.
December of 2014 at the CVA Christmas party at the Grand Hyatt at Washington, D.C., you were noticeably intoxicated and had to be carried up to your room. Is that true or false?
Anonymous Smears.
Another time, a CVA staffer stated that you passed out in the back of a party bus. Is that true or false?
Anonymous Smears.
In 2014, while in Louisiana on official business for CVA, did you take your staff, including young female staff members, to a strip club?
Absolutely not. Anonymous Smears.
So, is it accurate that the organization reached a financial settlement with a female staffer who claimed to be at a strip club with you, and there was a colleague who attempted to sexually assault her? Was there a financial settlement?
Senator, I was not involved in that. I don't know the nature of how that played out.
I think I'm going to go to AnonymousSmears.com and see if there's a picture of Pete Hegseth. Mr. Hegseth, Anonymous Smears.
I think you might get something kind of different if you yeah. just look up Anonymous Smears. I'm just going to put that out there.
Hurry up and go get it. Go, Daddy. Anonymous Smears. Now, he did the stripper taking the staff to the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
He said absolutely not.
He
and
did
then
say
followed
not.
That up with Anonymous Smears.
Uh-huh.
But saying something is an anonymous smear is not denying it.
Correct.
Anonymous means someone said it off the record.
Mm-hmm. Smear just
means it's a derogatory.
To look bad.
Yeah, it makes you look bad. Well, yeah. I mean, okay, but also doesn't mean that it's false.
That it didn't happen.
Right. Did
the only one that he didn't, that he said absolutely not to, was taking his staff to a strip club.
That's the only one.
That's the only one.
Everything else was
anonymous was just an anonymous smear.
Anonymous smear.
Schmear.
Can we get time for the next one?
Not enough
time for the next one. All right, we have more. That was Mark Kelly, senator from Arizona. He's a Democrat. He's a good cat, and he was asking, I think, fair questions. These are the accusations from Anonymous. Now, and we'll hear more from Tin Kaine. Some of these folks are not anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have put their name on the record. Passing out in the back of the party bus, man. I mean,
not only is he a party boy, but he can't even hold his booze.
That's why you get the party bus. So no DUIs, you know, that's why you got the party bus. So my question is, and we're going to hear more of these kinds of character behavioral questions, but if Hegseth started out this confirmation hearing, in front of these senators saying, I come before you, I have challenges with my drinking. I had challenges with my character and I'm now an open book. Well, then and of course it's easy for me to say, I'm not there on the 7 minutes and I don't have, the pressure of being live and in doing this, but I would like to ask some open-ended questions mm-hmm. instead of the true and false. Like, hey, instead of saying, did you pass out in the back of the party bus? Can you say, can you give me an example of what happened when one of those times that you think you were out of control with your drinking?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Because the guy already admitted it through his book and through his testimony that he's had these issues and overcame them. Okay, well, give me some examples of what you did. What was your judgment there? How did you change it? How did you overcome it? Those are open-ended questions that go directly to what he has claimed. The true and false, I get it. It's for time. And we're running out of time in this segment. Come back with us. 855-752-4842. More of Hegseth's confirmation hearing.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media Radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Before we get back to the Hegseth confirmation hearings, folks, you know how we do it. We end this show on the last segment by telling us something good. We want to hear something good. I mean, we always, sometimes it's a little tough. You know, we talk about some heavy things sometimes, but although we try to have fun, we want to encourage our audience. Anytime during the show, certainly, but in the last segment specifically, it'd be the 5:50 kind of time. Mm-hmm. Call us up. Tell us something good. Doesn't have to be political.
Doesn't have to be big.
Doesn't have to be big. Could be small.
Could be something small.
A kid won the spelling bee. Hey.
That's great.
Something good.
Love it.
Love it. Tell us something good.
We spend so much time on this show. I mean, it's a political talk show. So, especially on days like today.
It's a news talk, entertainment
it's a news
show,
talk,
music. You know,
the music is good.
We had Mike Clemens on last week, a little sports action.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
So we don't mix it up. It don't have to be always on the politics. So certainly by the last segment today, tell us something
good.
You can
text it in.
Yeah,
you can call me.
Do that too. 855-752-4842. I know, Jess, it gets a little heavy sometimes. So, but I'm down. I love this idea. I love ending on a positive note. 855-75-CIVIC. Tell us something good. Mark Kelly, Senator from Arizona, at the confirmation hearing of Pete, the former Foxy news host, trying to get into the Pentagon. We talked about the true or false anonymous smears and all that. Overcoming his significant challenges. Again, this was something I think that Senator Kelly did a pretty good job on. Let's play cut number two from the senator from Arizona.
You admittedly had issues with heavy drinking. It's hard to kind of square this, to square the circle here. It's kind of a difficult thing to do. Let me ask you if I have about a 90. If you had to answer these questions about sexual assault against you and your drinking and your personal conduct, would it have been different if you were under oath?
Senator, all I'm pointing out is the false claims against me.
Okay, I take it you do not want to answer that question. I walked into this hearing this morning concerned that you haven't demonstrated adequate leadership in your civilian roles. And this is a dangerous world we're living in here. And America cannot afford a Secretary of Defense who is unprepared for that mission. I'm going to leave with concerns about your transparency. Mm-hmm. You say you've had personal issues in your past, yet when asked about those very issues, you blame an anonymous smear campaign, even when many of these claims are not anonymous. Which is it? Have you overcome personal issues, or are you the target of a smear campaign? It can't be both. It's clear to me that you're not being honest with us or the American people, because you know the truth would disqualify you from getting the job. And just as concerning as each of these specific disqualifying accusations are, what concerns me just as much is the idea of having a Secretary of Defense who is not transparent. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back my 2 seconds.
I just loved that.
His 2 seconds.
I yield back my 2 seconds.
Mark Kelly, a man of the clock. I mean, you know, time matters, and he used it all. I thought it was and he didn't get an opportunity, or didn't take the opportunity. Pete Hegseth didn't, to answer that question. He referred to as just, you know, responding to the claims against me.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not under oath.
He's not under oath.
You know what I mean? So,
which is an important thing to remember. He can lie.
And we have to be aware of that. And certainly the transparency issue. And again, some of the items that were brought up about passing out in the back of the party bus and those kinds of things, when the response was anonymous smears, not open-ended. Again, mm-hmm. How did you overcome? What was an example? How are you different now? I think it could have been handled a little differently if you really wanted to get some of those answers. Now, he may not be forthcoming, but open-ended questions, I think, are certainly better. Okay, let's move on. Senator Alyssa Slotkin, a Democrat from the great state of Michigan. Let's hear about this.
As the Secretary of Defense, you will be the one man standing in the breach should President Trump give an illegal order. Right? I'm not saying he will, but if he does, you are going to be the guy that he calls to implement this order. Do you agree that there are some orders that can be given by the commander in chief that would violate the U.S. Constitution?
Senator, thank you for your service. But I reject the premise that President Trump is going to be giving illegal orders.
No, I'm not saying he will. But do you believe there is such a thing as an illegal order that Joe Biden or any other president, Donald Trump, could give? Is there anything that a commander in chief could ask you to do with the uniformed military that would be in violation of the U.S. Constitution?
Senator, anybody of any party could give an order that is against the Constitution or against the law.
Right. OK, are you saying that you would stand in the breach and push back if you were given an illegal order?
I start by saying I reject the premise that President Trump will be giving any illegal orders.
Genuflecting.
Mike, this isn't a hypothetical, okay? Your predecessor in a Trump administration, Secretary Esper, was asked and did use uniformed military to clear unarmed protesters. He was given the order to potentially shoot at them. Helos flew low in Washington, D.C. as crowd control. He later apologized publicly for those actions.
This is not a hypothetical, as the senator from Michigan points out. This already happened, and it is concerning because we've heard Donald Trump, you know, kind of willy-nilly talk about deploying U.S. troops on U.S. ground.
On the enemy from within.
Watch out, Republicans. They're talking about you, all you Republicans that don't get in line. I don't agree with the premise. Well, it's not your job to agree or disagree with the premise. That's the question. And yes, as you said, Mr. Hegseth, anybody, a Republican or a Democrat in that situation, could give an illegal order. The question, which you failed to answer, is if that were to happen, let's say you get the job. And it says maybe new is, you did such a great job with all your innovation and work in the Pentagon. The next Democratic president keeps you on board. And that person gives you an illegal order. Would you follow that one? See what I'm saying? Didn't answer the question, which, you know, my takeaway is, of course, he's going to be loyal to Donald Trump no matter the order. Just following orders. Heard that before. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Come back with us. More of the Senate testimony from Pete Hegseth, 855-752-4842.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It'll be at least another day of dangerously cold temperatures, and keeping kids safe in winter weather takes a little advanced planning. Lisa Hale has tips on how to keep those kids safe.
It is mighty cold, and as temperatures drop into the single digits and below this week and next, UW Health Kids has essential safety reminders to keep the young ones safe in winter weather. Rizelle Eithun, the Child Safety and Injury Prevention Manager for UW Health Kids, says many winter injuries are preventable. She reminds families to let children come indoors periodically to prevent hyperthermia or frostbite. Indoors, make sure that there's a carbon monoxide detector on every floor, including sleeping areas. And when in the car, wearing bulky clothes or winter coats can prevent a snug, proper fit of a child's car seat harness. Adjust the harness while the child's coat is off, then put the coat on top like a blanket. Wait until you arrive at your destination before putting the coat back on your child.
We could hit 40 by the coming weekend, the latest coming up in the forecast. A troublesome TOSA train crossing is getting an upgrade. Wauwatosa has secured a $1 million federal grant to improve safety at the Walnut Road Railroad crossing. There have been 5 fatal crashes in that area since 1988. The new design could include an underpass. City officials say they want to eliminate the at-grade crossing, reduce train vehicle collisions, and to improve access to nearby businesses. More Milwaukee baristas are joining forces. Employees at Fairgrounds Coffee and Tea in Milwaukee's Yankee Hill area have unionized. In a recent 4-1 vote, workers decided to align themselves with the MASH Workers Union. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's one thing not to advance in a nationally televised singing competition show. It's another thing to storm off when you're eliminated. And it's still another thing to do it dressed as a toad. Macy Gray is a Grammy-winning artist. On The Masked Singer, where her identity was concealed, she was referred to as Toad in a Hole, also known as a disgusting name for a breakfast plate. Gray eventually came back for the Q&A, where she said, "You know, I've been singing for a long time, and now I'm a toad." Ouch. At least she got paid. Timothée Chalamet will not only host Saturday Night Live in January, he will also be the musical guest. SNL announced the actor will make his 3rd appearance as host January 25th. In addition to receiving rave reviews for his acting in the Bob Dylan biopic A Complete Unknown, the actor has also been lauded for his singing. Chalamet says he spent 5 years preparing for the role, which included singing lessons, and was adamant about not lip-syncing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows 0 to 5 above. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, highs up into the mid-20s. Some flurries and snow showers tomorrow night, then even warmer on Thursday. High in the mid-30s and near 40 Friday, then colder for the weekend. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
On the way, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us. I got an interesting voicemail about I don't have to worry about paying any taxes. Also, who is coming in on H-1B visas? Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Just PS on the board, you folks on the phones and on the text line, 855-75-CIVIC. Remember, and when some of you folks are playing along with us, tell us something good. You can text it in. We're going to get there in the next segment, our last segment. Love to end the day on something positive, a positive note.
Yeah, you can also call in.
You can call in, 855.
Callers will get precedence.
752-4842. Yes, they do.
Always.
We appreciate that. We are listening to the interactions between the Senate and Pete Hegseth, his confirmation hearing. I said testimony. I mean, he's not under oath, but he's testifying. He's saying things.
Indeed.
Testify. And he's Pete Hegseth. A lot of the words he's saying are Anonymous smear. The Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat from Virginia, he had a couple of cracks at him as well. His Indeed. 7 minutes. We'll cut it. We had two cuts from the senator. And I thought Tim was pretty critical on the personal.
Indeed. At the personal qualifications that are needed, the strength of character.
Yeah. Let's hear what the senator had to say. Cut number, three, I guess.
I want to return to the incident that you referenced a minute ago that occurred in Monterey, California in October 2017. At that time, you were still married to your second wife, correct? I believe so. And you had just fathered a child by a woman who would later become your third wife, correct?
How Trumpy.
Senator, I was falsely charged. Fathering a child? So you think you were completely cleared because you committed no crime? That's your definition of cleared? You had just fathered a child 2 months before by a woman that was not your wife. I am shocked that you would stand here and say you're completely cleared. Can you so casually cheat on a second wife and cheat on the mother of a child that had been born 2 months before, and you tell us you are completely cleared? Senator, how is that a complete clear?
This is in reference to the woman who has alleged that Hegseth raped her, that Hegseth claims was a consensual encounter. This is while he is married to his second wife, had just fathered a child with the woman who had become his third wife.
So he was still married to number two.
Still married to number two.
Just had a baby with number three. And then was involved in this sexual liaison that she claims was sexual, a rape, and he says was consensual. And then he ended up paying her off.
Indeed.
And this was while he was, I'm not clear. I don't want to speak out of turn. Okay, let's hear more Senator Kaine talking with Hegseth, cut number two.
You cheated on the mother of that child less than 2 months after that daughter was born, didn't you?
Those were false charges. investigated, and I was completely cleared. And I am so grateful for the marriage I have to this woman behind me.
You've admitted that you had sex at that hotel in October 2017. You said it was consensual. Isn't that correct?
Pause.
Anything, admitted that it was consensual, and you were still married, and you just had a child by another woman.
Again,
how do you explain your judgment?
Completely false charges against me.
You fully investigated, and I
was completely clear.
You have admitted that you had sex while you were married to wife two after you just had fathered a child by wife three. You've admitted that. Now, if it had been a sexual assault, that would be disqualifying to be Secretary of Defense, wouldn't it?
Oh.
It was a false claim then and a false claim now.
If it had been a sexual assault, that would be disqualifying to be Secretary of Defense, wouldn't it?
That was a false claim.
So you
talking about a hypothetical.
So you can't tell me whether someone who has committed a sexual assault is disqualified from being Secretary of Defense?
Well, they can be president.
Senator, I know in my instance, and I'm talking about my instance only, it was a false claim.
But you acknowledge that you cheated on your wife and that you cheated on the woman by whom you had just fathered a child. You have admitted that.
I will allow your words to speak for themselves.
You're not retracting that today. That's good. I assume that in each of your weddings, you've pledged to be faithful to your wife.
Oh.
You've taken an oath to do that, haven't you?
Oath?
Senator, as I've acknowledged to everyone in this committee, not a perfect person, not claiming to
be. But no, I just asked a simple question. You've taken an oath like you would take an oath to be Secretary of Defense in all of your weddings to be faithful to your wife. Is that correct?
I have failed in things in my life, and thankfully, I'm redeemed by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
What? Come on.
the cop out.
Oh, man, Jesus might love you, but everyone else thinks you're an idiot. Come on, man. You are redeemed. I've done some things. I'm not a perfect. Mm-hmm. No, the answer is you took an oath. And of course, I get the point from the senator because oaths don't mean anything to people like Hegseth or mm-hmm. Donald Trump. I don't believe it. You don't take an oath to be, you know, to honor and cherish and be truthful and whatever to your wife, mm-hmm. number one, number mm-hmm. two, and number whatever. Okay, I get it. People get divorced. Maybe it's not a big deal, but it's his word.
It's his word.
Does that matter? Does character matter? Donald Trump took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Donald Trump tried to overthrow the government from within, which has never been done before. So, you know, I can't charge him with insurrection. Thank you, Jack Smith. But I digress. It comes down to that oath. And I get Tim Kaine, Senator Kaine's point. But come on, these people don't follow their oaths anyway. Let's keep going. We have Mazie Hirono, a Democratic senator from Hawaii. Wow, this one is awesome as well. Let's hear what the senator has to say.
2020, then President Trump directed former Secretary of Defense Mark Esper to shoot protesters in the legs in downtown D.C., an order Secretary Esper refused to comply with. Would you carry out such an order from President Trump?
Senator, I was in the Washington, D.C. National Guard unit that was in Lafayette Square during those events.
Would you carry out an order to shoot protesters in the legs?
I saw 50 Secret Service agents get injured by rioters trying to jump over the fence, set a church on fire, and destroy a statue.
You know what? That sounds to me that you will comply with such an order. You will shoot protesters in the leg. Moving on.
You will shoot protesters in the leg. Oh, I was there. I was holding a shield for my country. That's not the question. Thank you for your service. If you had that same order that Esper had and Esper denied or declined to follow that order, would you, sir, shoot him in the legs? No, that's a non-answer. So the answer, of course, is yeah.
Yeah, this is the same as I reject the premise that Donald Trump would issue an unconstitutional demand. That says that anything that Trump says, he will consider to be constitutional.
Whether or not it is, he won't even worry his pretty little self about it. He's going to do it. Let's, Tammy Duckworth, lighten it up. This one's worth waiting on. Let's get to it.
Hegseth, this hearing is about whether you are qualified to be Secretary of Defense. And one of the qualifications to answer my colleague's question is to actually win the votes of every member of this committee and to be confirmed by the United States Senate. And you need to convince us that you're worthy of that vote, because the people of the state of Illinois voted for me to be their senator so that I could cast that vote when it comes to picking who is going to be the next Secretary of Defense. This hearing now seems to be a hearing about whether or not women are qualified to serve in combat, and not about whether or not you are qualified to be Secretary of Defense. And let me just say that the American people need a SecDef who's ready to lead on day one. You are not that person. Our adversaries watch closely during times of transition, and any sense that the Department of Defense that keeps us safe is being steered by someone who's wholly unprepared for the job puts America at risk, and I am not willing to do that. With that in mind, Mr. Hegseth, I want you to try to explain to the American people, this committee, who have to vote for you, and to our troops who are deployed around the world, why you are qualified to lead the Department of Defense. We already know that you've only led the largest, a 200-person organization. We already know that you so badly mangled a budget that after you left, they had to bring in a forensic accountant to figure out what went wrong. And that the largest budget you ever managed was about $18 billion. You know, that is about 51,560 times fewer lower than the Department of Defense budget of $825 billion. $16 million is 51,568 times smaller than the defense budget. Please describe to me, Mr. Hegseth, you talk about DOD passing an audit. Please describe to me a time or an organization when you led underwent an audit, because you say you're going to hire smarter people than you to run this audit. I'm not asking you to be an accountant. I want you to be able to tell me what kind of guidance will be given to those employees, what will happen if, whether or not you pass that audit. Have you led an audit of any organization, yes or no? I don't want a long answer, yes or no. Have you led an audit of any organization of which you were in charge?
Senator, in both of the organizations I ran, we were always completely fiscally responsible.
Yes or no, did you lead an audit?
And the way
yes or no, did you lead an audit? Yes or no?
Completely
what are you afraid of? You can't answer this question. Yes or no, did you lead an audit? Do you not know this answer?
Senator, every part of my leadership of these organizations has been misrepresented.
I will take that as a no. What were the findings? So there were no findings because you've never led an audit. What guidance did you give the auditors? None, because you've never led an audit. Nobody expects you to be an accountant, Mr. Hegseth. What we expect is for you to understand the complexity of this Pentagon budget process that is absolutely necessary to outfit our warfighters. Look, the Secretary of Defense is required to make quick decisions every single day. With high-level information that's being provided for them. A Secretary of Defense has to have breadth and depth of knowledge. Right now, I am concerned that you have neither. Mr. Hegseth, what is the highest level of international negotiations that you have engaged in, that you have led in? Because the Secretary of Defense does lead international security negotiations. There are three main ones that the Secretary of Defense leads and signs. Can you name at least one of them?
Could you repeat the question, Senator?
Sure. What is the highest level of international security agreement?
I went to Hooters in Mexico.
And can you name some that the Secretary of Defense would lead? There's three main ones.
Do you know? I have not been involved in international security arrangements because I have not been in government other than serving in the military. So my job has been to.
So, no, the answer is no. Can you name one of the three main ones?
You're talking about defense arrangements. I mean, NATO might be one that you're referring to.
Might.
Status of Forces Agreement would be one of them.
Status of Forces Agreement. I've been a part of teaching about Status of Forces Agreement.
Did you mention it?
A part of teaching.
You're not qualified, Mr. Hegseth. You're not qualified. You talk about repairing our defense industrial complex. You're not qualified to that. You could do the acquisition and cross-servicing agreements, which essentially are security agreements. You can't even mention that. You've done none of those. You talked about the Indo-Pacific a little bit, and I'm glad that you mentioned it. Can you name the importance of at least one of the nations in the ASEAN, and what type of agreement we have with at least one of those nations? And how many nations are in ASEAN, by the way?
I couldn't tell you the exact amount of nations in that, but I know we have allies in South Korea and Japan and in AUKUS with Australia and trying to work on submarines with them.
Mr. Hegseth, none of those countries are in ASEAN. None of those three countries that you mentioned are in ASEAN. I suggest you do a little homework before you prepare for these types of negotiations. Listen, Mr. Hegseth, we ask our troops to go into harm's way all the time. We ask them to go into harm's way. And this behind me is a copy of the Soldier's Creed, a copy that usually hangs over my desk here in the Senate. And you should be familiar with it. It's the same copy that hung over my desk at Walter Reed every single day that I woke up and fought my way back because I wanted to go back and serve next to my buddies who'd saved my life. These words, I repeat it over and over and over again. And let me read out two things to you, two sentences. I will always place the mission first, and I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior task. Mr. Hegseth, our troops follow these words every single day, and they man up and they pack their rucksacks and they go to war, and they deserve a leader who can lead them, not a leader who wants to lower the standards for himself or raising the standards for other people. And by the way, our troops already meet the standards. We ask troops to man that ship, fight that fire, fly that helicopter until their very last breath. And they do that every single day. They cannot be led by someone who's not competent to do the job. How can we ask these warriors to train and perform the absolute highest standards when you are asking us to lower the standards to make you the Secretary of Defense simply because you are buddies with our president-elect? And by the way, he has filed for bankruptcy 6 times. I'm not quite sure he's the kind of CEO you want to refer to as a successful businessman. Let me make it clear. You can't seem to grasp that there is no U.S. military as we know it without the incredible women that we serve. Women who've earned their place in their units. You have not earned your place as Secretary of Defense. You say you care about keeping our armed forces strong and that you like that our armed forces are meritocracy. Then let's not lower the standards for you. You, sir, are a no-go at this station.
Senator Tammy Duckworth saying Hegseth is a no-go. Come back with us. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842. Last segment of the day.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Donald Trump's inaugural committee has received $170 million in contributions, and it's expected to reach $200 million, almost double his 2017 total. Yes, the contributions pay for inaugural balls, but inaugural funds are also a vehicle for corporate pay-to-play contributions, currying favor for federal contracts, lenient legislation, or access to the president. The Associated Press reported January 9th that the totals were far beyond President Trump's $107 million in 2017 and President Biden's $62 million in 2021. The Federal Election Commission oversees inaugural contributions, and any donation of $200 or more must be reported. But 90 days after the contribution is made and long after the spotlight is gone. There are no individual or corporate contribution limits, and only foreign nationals are barred from donating. Among the known 2024 inaugural donors, Amazon, Meta, OpenAI, Toyota, Ford, General Motors, and Boeing all made public statements when they donated $1 million each. Energy company Chevron said in a statement to Reuters, "Chevron has a long tradition of celebrating democracy by supporting the inaugural committees of both parties." Or perhaps they're sending a message to someone. We have more on the pay-to-play history of inaugurations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
We all running in the same race. Ain't nobody winning. We only here for a minute. Yeah. So everybody slow down.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Slowing it down for a minute.
Just for a minute.
Tell us something good. This is Jess's favorite segment of the day, I swear to God. We love to hear the good news,
we need
the happy.
To hear it. We gotta.
Ending on a positive, fun note. It could be anything. It could be political. It could be personal. Could be a thought. I mean, it could be anything. Just tell us,
just tell us something good.
Something good. I saw the sunrise today. It was beautiful.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
That's nice. 855-752-4842. Texters and callers, 855-75-CIVIC. You know how we roll. Callers get priority. Just let's get to it. Tammy from Sheboygan, you are up. Welcome, Tammy. Tell us something good.
Excellent. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for having me. Caller, I am so excited. I was nominated by one of your listeners, Carrie Diener, who heard the ad from your station Civic, and she nominated me, and out of the thousands of entries, I'm now one of 10, so we're trying hard to get the vote out. We got to get the Sheboygan winner in. I live right now in Weston, Florida, so if you could tell your winners, we got to get a hometown Sheboygan girl in. It's a Packers.com/SHOF for Fan Hall of Fame, and vote for Tammy Hedges, Weston, Florida. We sure appreciate the good news.
Oh, our nice.
End on the good news, but we can still be winners in this and have a good day.
That is awesome.
Lovely,
nominated
Tammy.
For a Packer Fan Hall of Fame. Tammy, what, how, yeah. I'm going to give you some, like I'm talking to Pete Hegseth here. No, how do you qualify? How does one become a Packer Fan Hall of Fame? What activities, how many games have you been to? Like, how do you rate yourself?
Well, it actually comes down to the 500 word essay that Carrie Diener wrote in. And there's a committee that goes through all the essays. And this year's title of the contest is called Reach. And I'm a flight attendant with American Airlines, have been for 34 years. I'm actually based in Miami, Florida, but I come home to Wisconsin every other month for my family and friends. But I reach out on the planes, in the airports to football fans, Packer fans, give them that extra special treatment, reach out to know, why are you a Packer fan? To become a Packer fan, I can try to get you to be a Packer fan. And it's just, it's a great world out there to bring people together for the love of the sport. And that's what I've been. And that's what the letter said, how I met a passenger on board. We became pen pals before the internet. And she worked for Coach Sherman back years ago. And it just started from there. And I've been reaching out to fans left and right and the airplanes and through the terminals and on my layovers, et cetera.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Tammy. So how do people vote for you to be the Packer Fan Hall of
Fame?
Was
that packers.com/, and I missed what was at the end.
That's okay. Yep. It's packers.com/FHOF. It stands for Fan Hall of Fame. And then they've got to click on the vote now, put in the email, and it's for Tammy Hedges, Weston, Florida. I'm now living in Florida, but I'm from Sheboygan, Sheboygan South High graduate with Carrie Diener, who nominated me.
That is so awesome. Well, we are pulling for you, Tammy. Thank you. Yeah, of course.
Thanks for my call. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It was a tough one. It was a tough one. Hey, thank you so much, Tammy.
Thanks, Tammy.
Good luck. Love to hear that. And there is something special. And you know, I'm a Lions fan as well. I know. It gets people a little mad. I'm going to be a Packer fan and a Lion. Listen, when the Packers play the Lions, they root for the Lions. That's how we do it. And it's great to be a non-Packer fan if you want to bet with your buddies and talk a little trash. It's nice to be the contrarian sometimes. but there is something to be said when you go out and travel around, like Tammy says, American Airlines, you jump on and you see folks with their Packer gear on, man. If you're in another state and you look for the Packer bar, and man, it is amazing. Like everywhere you go, there's a Packer bar somewhere.
Yeah.
And the fans are just great. So good luck, Tammy. Thank you for calling in 855-752-4842. Hey, we got a texter. Imagine that. Carrie from Tulsa.
Carrie from Tulsa.
I think there's a conspiracy going on here. Here's what Carrie said. Great news. I nominated my best friend, I guess that's Tammy, for Packers Fan Hall of Fame. She's one of the 10 finalists originally from Sheboygan. We heard that. Heard the ad on Civic Media. Yeah. Thank you, Civic. And everyone, please vote for Tammy, Packer Fan Hall of Fame, every day. Well, you can vote every day up until... Okay. Looks like the 31st of January, Packer Fan Hall of Fame. Tammy out there.
That's so great.
On the planes, on the airways, traveling around the world, telling folks about the Packers and spreading that Wisconsin
love. Spreading the good news.
You know what? We are a nice lot here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I think people don't take advantage of us, but you know what I mean? We are nice people. 855-752-4842. We got a couple other texters, but callers get priority. Mary from Tulsa, tell us something good.
Hey, yeah, so I'm sharing my offering of good. It's depending on civicmedia.us is Wisconsin's strong and smart pro-democracy radio network. It's one of the dependable leaders out there that lots of us need during these pretty uncertain times. Thanks for being there.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Flattery will get you everywhere, Mary.
Indeed. Especially with us.
Thank you so much. It means a lot. We do try. No, sometimes it feels like I don't try really hard, but we do. We try to do our best to bring you the info and have some fun. A couple of the texters out there. Let's see here.
Andrew from Maine said the rock music is something good, as well as Lions in the playoffs.
Yeah, Andrew, go Lions. What else we got? Anything else? Anyone else go out there? Oh, some Higgs. No, we're not talking Higgs stuff anymore.
We're not talking about that.
Right. Tammy is a boss. Yes, Tammy is a boss. Go ahead.
I played some games with my friends last night, listened to some music. Some of that music ended up on the bumpers today.
Ah.
And it was just a wonderful moment to connect with people just outside of all this.
All this stuff. More of this stuff will be coming tomorrow. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Overtime with Maggie Dawn. To check her out 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Network. Thank you, Jess P.S. on the board. Thank you, our fair audience. Thank you, everyone, for playing along. Stick around. Pete Schwaba, the Nightlight, is coming up next. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome dietitian and nutritionist Sherry Stoka, and from the band Ask Your Mother, Eric Rathsack and Adam Krause join me in the studio. There will be rock.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Democrats on the Senate Armed Services Committee grilled President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was not impressed.
It appears that Mr. Hegseth's strategy is to follow the five D's of dodgeball. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Democratic Congressman Benny Thompson, who chaired the House January 6th committee, says he would accept a preemptive pardon.
I will accept it because there are a lot of people who take this person at his word, and I don't want him to weaponize government against people for doing their job.
National Weather Service meteorologist Rich Thompson is worried about wind gusts in Southern California.
We still have expectations of some moderate Santa Anas developing across the fire tonight and during the day tomorrow, and therefore that's why we have a red flag warning still in effect for this area until 6 p.m. Wednesday evening.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.